Welcome to Everyday Witch, the podcast. Join head witches Tess and Nikki as we discuss our lives and invite you to embrace the magic.
Hi, I'm Tess.
I'm Nikki. And we're the Everyday Witches. So on today's episode, we're going to be interviewing Tianne Pitts. She is an entrepreneur and writer. Tianne began writing at the age of 5. Her best memories were of writing haiku and songs. The goal was to be a famous singer, but life had other plans. In her life experiences, she was able to turn them into words, which helped shape the next adventure, sharing words with others in hopes of inspiring or healing. This led to meeting the best partner who taught her survival and how to turn her love of collecting into a thriving collectible toy business. Stay tuned. You never know where she will go. We are looking forward to asking her more about all of her endeavors, including her writing and toy business.
Yeah, we can't wait for you to hear our interview with her, which will be up in a few minutes. But before that, we're going to do our weekly card pull and mindset setting.
A little sound healing for you all. Okay, deep breath in and out.
Okay, so today's card is the Knight of Pentacles, which symbolizes having more compromise when it comes to your work, especially. So if you're trying to achieve something, maybe in order to really get to where you want to go, you have to compromise to get there. It might not be exactly what you want, but to be the most successful, you're going to have to compromise along the way, which is really in all avenues in life. You have to compromise to really be the best or have the best life, I think. Like with relationships, with everything, compromise is really important.
Yeah, I agree. Like one piece of advice my dad gave me once was don't wait for things to be perfect. Like use what you have and then you can always like upgrade from there. And that has always helped me, like, you know, oh, I need the best of this or I need the best of that. And like, and I'm like, no, I can start with this and then I can upgrade from there. And like, it helps me whenever I'm thinking about projects because, you know, sometimes I'm a perfectionist. I'm like, I need this. And I'm like, no, I can do this. So it also helps with pivoting, like compromise and pivoting, I feel sometimes kind of go hand in hand. And it's a really good card. It is hard sometimes to want to compromise, but it is a necessity.
Yes. Definitely. So this week, try compromising more and see where that leads. And stay tuned for the interview.
Hi, guys. We're so excited here today to have Tea and Brie with us. And thank you guys so much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
So we have some questions prepared. So for T, when did you fall in love with writing?
I started writing around as early as I can remember, at the age of 5. And I used to actually write letters to my imaginary friend named Dina. I had an older sister named Dana, so it was kind of very coincidental that Dina was my imaginary friend. And when I started to write the letters, then I just would start writing random things, and it kind of went into play like that. I used to write stories. I used to write songs as early as 6 and 7.
That's awesome.
That's so neat. Do you have a favorite author that you, like, really enjoyed when you were growing up as a kid? That
Tolkien is my favorite. I really threw myself into the Lord of the Rings series, and it took me to a place with the magical beasts and everything, and that was where I first started the love of magic, because I started hearing about these creatures that didn't exist, and I was like, oh, I need to know more. And that was, Tolkien was the number one, and then as I got older, I discovered Sark. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of her. She writes, she's out of the Bay Area, and she handwrites her books as well. So I look up to her a lot, and that when I started doing my zines, I started handwriting everything, colorful pictures, illustrations, and it's all me. And she's my other one.
That's awesome. So what is your favorite writing style, if you have one?
I'm random. I don't know if it's a style, but I call it prose. And the reasoning is because I will write a story and I'll just play off of words and I'll continue to go. Sometimes my things will rhyme. Sometimes it'll be a haiku. But my most favorite is prose, and it's mainly because I can get everything out. And if you look at my zines, you'll see some of them do rhyme. They follow a style, but it's, I always kind of look at it like it's my style because it's so random.
Yeah, I love that because that's kind of like life in your thoughts. You know, they're never like actually in a poem.
Exactly. And that's why a lot, when I would submit, I started submitting poems as a teenager to writing contests and things along that lines, and I would never get accepted. And I used to get really dejected and I'd really get upset. And then I started to get constructive criticism from a writing teacher that I had. And she told me it was because I didn't follow a form. And most of the places where you submit poetry to are looking for a form. They're looking for that strict format. And I just couldn't seem to fit into the bubble. So I always just left it at prose and left it alone at that. Because people do enjoy my writing. So I'm like, all right, cool, I'm just going to stick with that then.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's nice to, you know, like go your own way a little bit and to test the boundaries outside the water is always nice. And
most definitely.
Yeah, that's fun. That's super fun.
Yeah. So since you are an entrepreneur with all these different businesses and you're writing, what inspired you to do that?
That is a really great story. I'll try and shorten it. I'm not too good at shortening things. But one of my zines is actually a short love story, which is funny. But you'll see the backstory when you do read the zine. I met my boyfriend about 10 years ago. I was in a very, very bad place in my life. I had just left a 21-year abusive relationship. And I was in debt about $25,000. And then my son went to live with his dad. And he took me for support, which just made everything else financially worse, right? So my boyfriend, who has been in the hustling game for a long time, he's all, what if I show you a way to get yourself out of this situation? And it started with Hot Wheels. Now, I loved Hot Wheels as a kid, so this was right up my alley. And we started selling Hot Wheels. We started doing toy shows, and it built from there, and it turned into now we're partners in a toy store. So it just developed into something so beautiful over these years, and it really got more exciting as things would just progress. Like, oh, we're out of the Hot Wheels. Now we're into Monster High dolls. Now we specialize in vintage toys from the 80s. And the 90s, so it's pretty exciting.
The 90s is vintage.
Yeah.
No.
I have to say, I have to say it. I just turned 50. I'm ancient.
I was like, I just turned 30.
I know. Seriously. Oh my god. Well, Bree, do you have your own entrepreneurial dreams, or do you assist at all with your mom's entrepreneurial endeavors?
Writing or I'm singing in my room or something. And she puts stuff in the toy store as well.
Yeah.
So stuff that she collects, she puts stuff in there as well. So it's kind of giving her a feel for how the shop runs as well. But she's always been my right hand at all of the events I've ended at personally. The writing events, she's been right there with me. So she's had experience with it.
Yeah, you enjoy going to the events?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, I even made her cry at one.
Aww.
Because I wrote this poem about my father. I only say that word when I'm talking about him. But, yeah, I made her cry when I read that one. And she's like, you made me cry, you asshole. And I'm like, sorry, had to let it out.
That's just proud mom moment.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome that you guys support each other, though, and are there for each other, you know?
She's going to be with me forever, so I always tell her she's stuck with me, and I'm stuck with her, so, you know, we're good.
Yes.
That's fantastic. I know you put things in the toy store, and then, you know, what are your guys' two I guess if you had a one favorite toy.
Okay, so here we go. Going back into the magical things, dragons are my number one collecting thing. And then anything scary, I'm a big horror movie freak. I love all the scary toys. I love Killer Clowns from Outer Space. It's my favorite movie. I have sought those toys out over the years of being an entrepreneur in this toy business, and every time I would tell anybody, if you come across Killer Clowns, they're mine. But I do love dragons the most. I never really was a girly girl, so I didn't get into the My Little Ponies and the Strawberry Shortcakes. I had them, but I wasn't really into them. It was more Hot Wheels and magical beasts and cars and things like that. I was just into that. And her? What are you into, toys-wise?
Toy-wise, it's basically like how I like my books, too. They have to be fantasy. The first book that I really loved was the Harry Potter series, so I still collect Harry Potter to this day. And then I really got into the House of Night series by PC and Kristen Cast. They're a mother-daughter duo themselves.
They didn't make toys.
They didn't make toys, Todd, but they did make a coloring book that I have, though. Yeah. But so I just like collect unicorns, fairies, vampire stuff.
That's cool.
My favorite toys, though, let's see. When I was younger, it was like the Spice Girl dolls. Furby.
She still has them.
Even though now I'm like terrified of Furbies because I'm like, dude, that thing's gonna come alive and like slaughter everybody. And then horror, anything horror because I love horror movies. So we actually just marathon them all the time. We don't even wait till Halloween.
What's your favorite horror movie?
Horror movie wise, it would be Nightmare on Elm Street or Scream. It's kind of like this with them. I'm like, oh, they're both equal. I love them both so much. Funny thing about Scream though is that when it first came out, I thought I was grown enough to watch it right away. And so my mom was watching it. I think it was in the living room. And I was like, oh, I'm grown enough. I can watch this. And I'm watching it, and then when Drew Barrymore gets killed in the first act, I just ran up to my room screaming. But now it's a favorite movie. And I even have a bag with little
shoes. That was The Grudge. What was that movie?
The Grudge?
Yes.
That was so
That
good
one
too.
Scarred me for a long time.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You're like, no one make that noise around me.
I guess if I'm going horror, I mean, I do love Nightmare on Elm Street. I did get to go meet, like, everybody who worked on, like, the 80s films. And we went to, like, the house and took pictures in front of it. But awesome. Tremors, I've got to say,
is
probably
Tremors
one of my favorite,
so
like, movie monster cult classic. We need to do a cult classic, like, episode. Yeah, like, movie monsters, like, but
there's so many great cult movies.
Yeah, one of my friends was asking me about Sharknado, and I'm like, I haven't seen them yet.
Oh,
you
my God,
Sharknado.
You gotta watch Sharknado.
I didn't know that I had the guy from 90210 in it. Now I have to see it. Like, Ian Sizemore.
I'm the queen of B-movies. I loved all those really cheesy ones.
Yes.
The only horror movie that I'm not like into that's a classic is Halloween.
No?
Oh man. He walks so slow. It drives me
so
crazy.
It's more of a logical thing for you. So you're like, come on, you can get there a little quicker.
Because she's always running and he's always walking. And I'm like, you would have outrun him now.
When you said that, all I thought about was the awesome power scene where the guy stands in front of the roller.
Yes.
Oh, Austin Powers.
Oh my God.
Growing up.
Oh my God. So I was huge in the Ninja Turtles and Ghostbusters, and I had like the suit with the pack and the trap slid across the floor. I still wish I held on to so many toys, and my mom eventually had me and get rid of them. And I'm like, now I'm like, Dad could be a millionaire right now with all the toys I had. I have to say Ninja Turtles and then Ghostbusters. What about you? What
That's
were your
awesome.
Faves?
Probably like Wonder Woman because my dad was big into Marvel, so I had a bunch of like action figures when I was little. And
That's
I had
awesome.
This one that you like attached to the ceiling and she like flew around.
Yes. You can't find that intact anymore.
Or like Barbie, because we had so many Barbies, me and my sister, we would like set up a whole like village.
Oh,
Barbie
Village.
Did you see that
would be terrifying.
I did.
Oh,
was like, bro.
My favorite meme though was like, Freddie Prinze Jr. walked so Ryan Gosling could run. And I'm like, oh, that was a good one.
That's
fantastic.
That's funny.
I mean, nostalgic toys are
really big.
They're just so awesome. And I miss it. I miss having a Super Nintendo and like a Game Boy. And I've been thinking, maybe I should look into doing one of those Switches or something. Just like, because I don't know. I ask my adult friends all the time to play games with me, and no one ever wants to play games. And I'm like, let's play games. I miss it. Like,
yeah.
It's so much fun.
Well, anytime
yeah.
you want to play games, you can come to the shop.
Okay.
We've got a lot of them.
Yeah, all right.
Super Nintendo, Nintendo. It's funny because that is like the hottest. We can't keep them on the shelf. Literally, when we get one, we post everything up on the Instagram
yeah.
page,
mm-hmm.
and they're gone, like, quick. It's great.
Although I did learn my lesson the hard way, though. I was at a Comic-Con, and I had just gotten one for Christmas a long time ago, and I was like, oh, my God, Duck Hunt. I can't wait to go home and play Duck Hunt. And I didn't realize that you can't play Duck Hunt on a flat-screen TV. It has
yeah.
to be an old tube-style TV
yeah.
because of the mirror inside of the TV. And I was like, I called the guy, and I'm like, your gun's broken. I think it's broken. He goes, what kind of TV do you have? And I was like, oh. Okay.
Never mind, I guess.
I'll just sell this and get another game.
You know what game I miss is DDR. Did you ever play that? It's the
Dance
one.
Dance Revolution.
Oh, Dance Revolution.
Yes.
Okay.
I love that game.
She's the queen.
I love that game so good at it.
Her and my son used to make me laugh so hard. They just play it. They loved it so much.
Oh,
and I was like, I couldn't keep up. I'd fall over.
We did. We did the Michael Jackson one that was on, what was it, the Wii?
Oh,
my
yes.
sister had, like, oh, my God. It was so much fun. But then you see videos of all of us, and we're like.
I went to a coffee shop somewhere in downtown Mesa while we were on our way, like, to Apache Junction. And when I went into the coffee shop, they had Thriller on, and I couldn't help myself. I was like, all right, I'm going 13, going on 30 right now. I don't even care about this line. They're not even here.
Sometimes you just gotta
she was at the Nile. That's where
oh,
she was.
No, okay. Nice.
And they just, like, were blasting 80s all day that day, I guess, because I was like, oh, sweet, another hit coming.
You just got a book published, which is awesome.
That was crazy. And it's funny because my mom actually was like, I went and I got it. And I was like, oh, you did? I didn't even know. It's one of those things where I even just found out a long time ago, I entered a contest for Francis Ford Coppola is one of my favorites. And he, you know, he has wine and everything. He also has a magazine. And they would do submissions all the time. And I every time I would submit twice a year, and you have to pay. And I would submit twice a year, and I never got accepted for it. And then out of the blue one day, I was Googling myself. Actually, it was about a couple weeks ago. And I saw my name on their publication, and they actually used one of my photos, but never told me.
Wow.
I was all, I wonder how many other things are out there with my name on it that,
yeah.
you know, because I...
And no one ever told you.
Yeah, nobody ever told me. They're just like, we're going to use this. They put my name on there, but it was like nobody bothered to tell me. So I didn't even think about this book, Women Under Scrutiny. The author, she lives out in Massachusetts, and lovely, she did this contest and said, you know, go ahead and enter this contest. It doesn't cost anything. And I submitted my poem called She, which is probably one of the most formatted poems that I have. And I submitted it, and then she was like, the next thing I know, I got this email, and she's like, you've been accepted. Here's your next steps. And then we need a picture, we need a bio, and bios are so hard. Like, when you guys asked me for the bio, I was all, okay, how do we do this? Because I've heard that the best bios to write are in the third person. So where you're talking, you know, as if you're talking to somebody else,
right.
which is very difficult because I don't walk around talking in the third person, you know, sometimes. But,
yes.
But it was so hard for me. And so I did the one for her. It was real generic. And then she also sent me an email and she said, you can come out to the launch party. And I would have loved to have done that, but obviously, you know, financially that wasn't in the cards. But it was so cool because I felt kind of like a movie star. I was like, wow, this is exciting. This is what it feels like. Now, I've always wanted to publish my own book, but zines created that outlet and kind of fixed that itch, because the zines you're in control of. No one's telling you what you can and can't publish. No one's editing it but yourself. And you can do whatever you want with a zine, and that's, I think, the beauty of the underground writing. Whereas with a published book, you have to make sure you follow the guidelines. You have to make sure that you follow this, and then it's edited and everything else. They actually didn't edit anything out of my poem, which I was amazed. So I was super excited. And then she sent me a copy of the book, and then she sent me another copy of one of her other books. But this one I really love, and the reason why that it compelled me to enter that contest was because this is about how we perceive ourselves as women. And I've struggled my whole life with, I was bullied and a lot of things, you know, with my weight, with my looks, with my intelligence, whatever. I was bullied for being smart. I was bullied for being heavy, whatever. But she has these women, this is a series of women that are writing about how they feel. And it was just, it just jumped out at me. And I'm like, now when I look at the things that are in this book, I'm like, wow, this is really amazing, because these women are letting it all out. I remember walking down the street and somebody asking me when I was due, and I'm not due. I was just fat. And why can't people just accept the fact that some people are just heavy? You know, so that was amazing to me. So I think that if I was ever going to be published, this was the place to be published, because it was like home. So,
very important. And what's the title of the book, and where can people find it?
It's called Women Under Scrutiny, an anthology of truths, essays, poems, stories, and art by Randy Susan Myers. And you can get it on Amazon. I know that there's other places, but I know Amazon's like the biggest one out there, because you know, you can just type it in there and you'll find all formats for it, which is great.
Unfortunately,
yeah. Yeah. Don't give me an Amazon.
No, it's actually on my wish list right now. Yeah. I have to limit myself. I'm only allowed to buy so many books a month.
Right.
So many books a month.
My other friend is like that too. She's like, I have like 25 on my wish list, and then I just bought one.
That's a good thing about Kindle, like, is you can get them for cheaper if you want to get the digital. Like, some books I'm like, I don't want digital, mm-hmm. especially if I'm using it for research. But otherwise, like, if it's just like a, you know, book to read for fun,
right,
it's okay to get digital.
Yeah, I'm getting into the whole digital book phase. Yeah, but
it's hard, right? It's hard to make that transition.
I like the smell of a book.
Well, and that's the thing, though. I read all my news on my phone and like, or on my computer, and that doesn't bother me. But then when it comes to like reading,
I
always find myself falling asleep.
And the phone smacks you in the face.
Yeah, that's funny. There's nothing like that one, right in the nose.
Yep.
How did, you know, I know you said it felt like you were a celebrity. Where was the premiere at?
It was in Massachusetts is where she did the launch. It was at a bookstore that was over there, and then they had like a gala. It was very, very like low key, and it was really nice, and I was really wishing that I could have been there, because you know, why wouldn't you want to be there and be like, yes, that's me, but
yeah.
I was like, it's okay, it's all right, I'm out here, it's fine. Yes.
Oh. You still get to celebrate it.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. What does magic mean to both of you?
Magic. I'm going to my little notes, and it's only because I get brain damaged, kind of, so. Here it is. Here's how I start. We experience magic moments every day.
Yes.
The moment that we wake up in the morning to the moment we go to sleep, we experience magic, and it's in everything, and it surrounds us. So one thing that I learned through everything that I went through in my life and through when I went through the relationship that I was in and everything, I had to grasp onto one good thing every day. Now, luckily, I had two children who saved me completely, because that was like my biggest thing. I have to cook breakfast for my kids, and I get to play with my kids, because I was very hands-on with my children,
mm-hmm.
and we explored, and we would go, you know, everywhere and just go look at things. When I moved to Arizona, we would go to the washes, and this is where I found my magic. So We would go to the washes and dig in the sand. And my kids both still do it. Everybody laughs at me because I will have a van full of rocks, sticks, dried flowers, dried branches. That's magic. What comes from this earth is magic. And how we use that or how we treat it is the key. And that, you know, that's what it's like. Everything to me is just like, wow. And I love trees, you know, and I'm sure that you've seen, you know, I post a lot of pictures of flowers and trees, and I kiss trees and I hug trees and I talk to them, and everything is just so grounding for me. That's where I find my magic, because once I ground myself, I'm like, look at everything, the butterflies and the bees, and it just means so much to me because of what we can use from the earth, what we can create from the earth. Like, when I get into the kitchen and I cook, that's my magic. I love to cook. I love to cook for people. I love to feed people. I love to be able to create something that warms them. You know, like, my specialties are always soups, and that's my favorite thing. I want the herbs. I want to be able to throw in all of these different things because that's where the magic lies. You know, we have to find that in every little thing. And that's what it means to me. It means everything. If I didn't have any, if I wasn't able to touch the ground, if I wasn't able to touch a tree, I'd lose my mind.
I think that's beautiful.
Yeah, thank you. You?
Similar, I think nature is very magical. I also think that people's feelings with each other can be magical too. Like, I love. I think that's a magical feeling. And you can find love anywhere. It's not just like relationships, which people just consider as love, is just relationships. I'm like, nah, it can be friends, family. You can have love for nature, love for like animals. Like, and I think that always that makes me happy. And I always feel magical when I'm surrounded by that. Especially when I'm feeling down, I'm just like, all right, what can I touch or see or something that's like gonna spark that?
That's fantastic.
Yeah. You know, music.
I definitely agree that, like, you can have really meaningful relationships that aren't, like, romantic relationships. And a lot of people take that for granted.
Yes.
For sure. Yeah. And then sometimes they even end up with people that they shouldn't be because they're like, well, I feel this with them, so yeah, I'll just keep them just for that.
Lord
and
knows
like,
I've done that.
A lot of people do that.
For sure.
Well, and also, too, like, valuing the moment of that time and those right. things. And it's hard sometimes when you're in the middle of life's lessons with friends and,
yes.
and like, you know, to remember that like things come and they go and that ebb and flow and like those types of
right.
things. But it is, I do feel the same way, like what we can create from this earth and the feelings that we get are just so incredible. And I have to stop and remember to look up sometimes because I'm so short and I forget that like, sometimes this is my peripheral range, and then like I look up and I forget how expansive the world really is above us, not just below us as well.
Right.
So yeah, it's amazing.
What do you enjoy doing when you're not working? When you're not working at the toy store? When you're not writing? When you're not creating? What do you have to unwind or just have fun with?
Let's see. I love music. I can sit and listen to music all the time. My boyfriend is a DJ, so I'm very, very lucky because he practices all the time, so I get to listen to that. And I do, again, like to go outside. So even if I go outside, my favorite thing to take pictures of is clouds. It's ridiculous. But if I see a cloud, I'm running outside with my camera because I have to take pictures of the clouds. It makes me happy. But I love to cook in my downtime also, so that's my thing. I make a pozole every Sunday. It's like a thing. I make it every Sunday, so I always look forward to it. I'm like, it's Sunday, it's pozole day.
Yeah.
You know, so just, I like to cook, I like to listen to music, and I like to just kind of relax. It's really hard to be able to relax.
Yes, definitely.
That's the hardest thing, especially too when you Like, I work regular. I work in healthcare, so I'm regular 9 to 5. And then everything else is after. So it's trying to find that balance. It can be difficult sometimes, but I think I've gotten better at it. So
yeah.
I'm not as stressed out and crazy.
That's important. Yeah. How about you, Bree? What do you enjoy?
Well, I either write or I paint. I'm painting a lot lately. And then anything with glitter. I like to do artwork with glitter. Otherwise, I like to go wherever there's water, because water always soothes me. I'm just like, where's the water? I don't even care where it is, however I can find it. It could be a faucet.
It's a puddle.
I'm just like, I just need to like listen to this and just chill, or else my mind is going to go.
I get that. I've been wanting to drive out to the Salt River and just go be by the river. Just, yeah. It's nice when
it's
you
a place
connect.
To do.
It is.
Yes.
And did you catch the, speaking of clouds, did you catch the mid, the golden hour yesterday?
No, I was, I forget what I was doing, but I was not it
was
with
it
at all.
This weird
it was
time between like 6 and, like, it was like right before sunset, so it was like that transition mm-hmm. between like the last little legs of light to like the almost dark of the sky.
And the clouds.
And all of a sudden, like, my whole entire place got like that dark brownie kind of glow
I love
to it.
That color.
And I was like, oh my god, I'm gonna have to go look. And I like opened up the curtains and there were just hints of like purple and blue, and it was just so pretty. But it was so crazy because like just within like the 5 seconds of standing there, the clouds changed like 3 different shapes.
Yeah.
And it was quite incredible to see. So I agree. Like, that's one of my favorite. Like, I like love to just lay in the grass. When I had a backyard, I love lay in the grass.
Yeah.
And watch the clouds pass by, and then, like, you know, what can you see in them and that kind of stuff. But the sunsets have been quite amazing in the last few weeks.
It's the lovely time of year for us with the clouds and with the transitioning colors. And unfortunately, we're not having the monsoon, so we're not having those really brilliant clouds and sunsets. I used to make a point every evening to find the sunset, and I used to make a point to find the sunrise every morning. It was a thing. Time just doesn't work out that way sometimes. So now I make a point every time I go out. My mom lives in Apache Junction. I do miss living out there. I lived out there for 13 years, and I never took it for granted because my backyard was the desert. So I always went out to the desert, always went out to look at the sky, always went out to look at the cactus. I'm in Phoenix, and it's a really hard transition from that to a city because you don't get the same sunset. You don't get you have to drive to go find the good sunset, and it doesn't always work out that way. But I still find that beauty in the clouds regardless. I'll still run outside when I can. But if I get caught up and I miss it, I get really mad because people take pictures, and then I'm like, dang it.
I can't believe I missed that. Yeah.
Why wasn't I outside? And I tell her all the time. She laughs at me. And I was like, why didn't you remind me? She's like, I wasn't. I don't know.
Like, I have them even saved in my phone. And I'm like, whoops. Am I going to show the time? And I'm like, I'm sorry, I was boxing.
Right. Like full moon. If I miss the full moon, I get really frustrated. Then you sit there and you're like, I was going to cleanse my rocks, right?
Yeah.
And then I have all my rocks ready, and then I pass out. And I'm like, okay.
Is that not the only one who has the intentions to do things and then
no.
fails?
It happens all the time.
I have to set like a reminder. I'm always like, Alexa, remind me to do this at this time. And so then I'll be like, okay, I'll put like the 5 things I need to put out. So our finishing question for the week, and it's been so much fun having you here.
Thank you so much
for sharing, and definitely we'll just share your social media and the store information as well on the post, so you guys can go and check them out. They're over in Scottsdale. It's
Polar Bear's Pop
Culture Shop. I knew I was gonna tongue tie myself on that.
That's
one.
That's okay.
And if you have a chance to stop in, it's absolutely amazing. There's so much fun there. I just got a little Godzilla keychain because Godzilla is my spirit animal, and a book by Kevin Smith that was signed by him. So I'm very excited to have added that to my collection. So, but we always like to ask our guests, like, what was something like, magical that happened for you this week?
You get to go first, Brianna.
I just had my 30th birthday.
Yay!
And my brother shipped me out a boxing bag, and so I just have to get some sand and put that in there, and I'll finally have one for my room to just kick around and just train some more. What's up? Oh, yeah. And then I have, I'll be working two jobs now, raising canes and also salad and go.
That's fantastic. Congratulations on everything and happy birthday.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
She's the best. Let's see. Well, I'm going to say, I know this might sound cheesy and maybe other people might say it, but I will say being on this podcast is very magical for me. It's very exciting and healing for me to be able to just talk openly. And, you know, it's funny because a lot of times, you know, when you're at work, you have to block what you say or how you say or whatever. But when you're actually having a conversation with somebody and you already know that person, like, I know you, I love your products, and I'm so excited to see where you guys go next with this.
Yeah.
This was very magical for me to be able to get on here and discuss myself and also shout out the store because that's, you know, the bonus, and that's where a lot of the heart and soul is in that shop, the toys and everything. But magical... And this might sound cheesy too, but magical is every day being able to wake up and realize how far I've come in my life. At the age of 50, realizing the growth that I have accomplished and the people that are now in my life that are supposed to be there. So
that's fantastic. Oh, I just love it all. I feel that. I feel that a lot. I've been doing the same thing, like just enjoying a cup of tea or taking the extra special time to like enjoy what I'm cooking or the process of it. Even.
Yes.
It is. It's. I always tell people because I'm getting older, you know, like I'm proud of, to be where I'm at because not everybody gets to be.
Yes.
And see how amazing life can be after the trouble and turmoil of your 20s and all the things. But it was so fantastic. Thank you so much for being on the show. And we are going to be airing this episode real soon.
Yay! Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.